Welcome to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast, where we bring you sermons from our teaching team at Flood Church Lilongwe, Malawi. For more information, you can go to floodchurch.com.
Hey guys, my name is Humphreys, I'm so excited to be bringing you the word today. This is the second sermon in the series, You Are Not Alone in This, and we'll be looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 6. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 6. So we're going to dive in. But before we dive into the word, I just want us to hear two amazing stories from women from our own church. These women have gone through a lot of trials in life, but they're using their story to just shine God's truth. They're using their story to just, share hope and they're sharing with us how they've seen God work through their own pain. So, yeah, let's hear it from Diana, but also from Charity.
Good morning, Flood Church. My name is Diana. 10 years ago, I faced a painful journey in losing an important relationship, one that was supposed to last a lifetime. I found myself walking a road of brokenness and pain, faced with circumstances that were beyond my control. No matter how hard I tried to put things back together, it was difficult to realize things were just out of my hands. I found myself facing feelings of rejection, worthlessness, and the belief that I was now damaged because of where life had taken me. I felt alone and left with so many unanswered questions. The biggest one, why didn't God step in and fix this? I still don't have answers to some of my questions, but as I began my road to recovery and healing, I realized that that's okay. It took time to accept this part of my story. It took time to grieve the loss, and it took time to give God permission to take what was broken and to make something beautiful out of my story. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. When we face brokenness, loss, and when our questions seem unanswered, when it seems that God is silent, as an anchor holds a ship in place during a storm, we have this hope, sure as that anchor that Jesus is holding us. He promises he's never left us, that we are not alone. We are his children and we can trust him, because he sees beyond what we ever will. Today, I am before you, not rejected, not worthless, and not damaged. I am loved, I am child of the King, I am heir to a kingdom, I am beautiful, I am chosen, and I am his. And so are you.
Hi everyone, my name is Charity Stevens, I am a mother. And I got pregnant out of wedlock when I was 21 years old. At that point in my life, I had also been kicked out of university. And so I was a broke and homeless school dropout. I was experiencing a lot of pain and trauma because I was in a physically and emotionally abusive relationship with the father of my child. And I had lost friendships and even connections with some of my relatives because I was a disgrace for getting pregnant at a young age and out of wedlock. I felt really lost and I felt hurt. I was really depressed and I was angry with God because I felt that he had abandoned me at a time when I needed him the most. But the goodness of God is that even in the midst of pain and chaos, he shows us that he is faithful. And God showed me his faithfulness by bringing around the right people who encouraged and supported me in so many different ways. And they reminded me that even in that season, I was deserving of love and forgiveness. Because of the faithfulness of God and the support that I got, I was able to find healing for my soul. And I used that healing to start an organization that currently supports other young mothers who may be experiencing the same things I went through when I was younger. I have read a quote that says that the final step of healing is using what you have been through to to help another person. And I am glad to say that because of the faithfulness of God, that is what I have been able to do with my life.
Those are deep stories, heartbreaking, but also there's a lot of hope. And it's so amazing to see how God has worked through that and how God has shown his power and his grace in these women's lives. So thank you, Diana, and thank you, Charity, for sharing with us. We appreciate your vulnerability, but also your openness to allow God to use your stories for his glory. I will read scripture from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 all the way to 6. So let's dive in. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. All praise to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Let's pray. God, we want to thank you. We want to bless your name, for you are amazing, for you are good. You are the God who is there always. With us, you never leave us nor forsake us. And God, I pray as we dive into God's word, and as we dive into your word, may you speak truth into our lives, and may you help us to see you in it and to respond to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I cannot remember who, but someone else said, every single person that you come into contact with is standing next to a pool of their own tears. Every single person that you encounter is standing next to a pool of their own tears. A child who is in constant pain and sickness. A mother who is losing her body to cancer. A brother who has lost his job. A sister who is in an abusive relationship. A father who can't find enough to feed his family. A cousin who is being chased out of school because of lack of tuition. A friend who just lost a loved one. A couple that's going through divorce. A son who is battling depression. A daughter who just lost her husband. Every single person that you come into contact with is standing close to a pool of their own tears. Every single one of us has a story of pain. Every single one of us has a story of suffering. All of us have stories that we could share, stories that have made us cry, stories that are so painful, and we can share those stories because every single one of us has a story of pain and a story of suffering, a story of hardship. And some stories are easy to share, but some stories are so hard to share. I don't know if you have stories of pain where you actually shove them at the back of your head, that you don't want to even think about them because they're so painful, and you don't even want to remember that painful moment. You don't even want to remember that painful time because it was just so painful. And the reality is that you are standing next to a pool of your own tears. Now, knowing that every single one of us is standing next to a pool of our own tears, knowing that every single one of us has a story of pain, therefore we need to know that it is not okay for us to dismiss our pain, and it is not okay for us to dismiss the pain of others. It's not actually even okay for us to compare our pain stories. I've really heard a helpful ways that people want to encourage other people by saying, hey, why are you crying about that? Hear my story. I've actually gone through a really painful story more than you. And I think that's not helpful when we try to dismiss other people's pain. We don't have to compare each other's pain because Jesus Christ is enough. Jesus Christ is enough for all of us. He is enough for our painful stories. Now, I just wanted to remind us, and this is what we're going to be doing in this series. And we are leaning more onto truth and saying that when you're going through a painful moment, when you're going through a hard time, you need to remember what is true. You need to remind yourself of what is true. And probably you remember those times when you're going through a hard time and someone else comes to tell you about God or maybe to just encourage you in that situation. And you know that they're not telling you anything else that's new, really. But just hearing a truth of God from someone else, it just lifts your soul up. You know, it just lifts you up and just be like, oh yeah, I needed to hear that. Not because you didn't know that truth. You knew it. But you just needed somebody else to remind you that truth. And there is something else about truth, you know, when it comes from familiar truth coming from a friend or coming from a loved one or someone else, you know, in your world, just telling you and reminding you of God's truth. And this is what Peter is to these people that were going through a lot of problems, these people that were going through a lot of troubles, and these people that had a lot going on. They were foreigners. And going through a lot of trouble and painful moments. And he was that guy who would remind them of the familiar truth. But he would remind them to remember that what is true is constant. They have to remember what is constant. They have to remember what is true. Because when you're going through a hard time, it's so hard to remember what is true. And so Peter wants to remind them of what is true. And this is what he's doing. I want us to read verse 6 says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Rejoice. Even though for a little while you might have to endure a lot of problems. But you have to rejoice. And this is what I'm finding what Peter is saying. What Peter is saying is that accept the hardship that you're in. Accept it. Accept the hardship that you're in. But at the same time, expect the joy that's coming for you. Accept your hardship, but expect the joy. Accept your hardship, but expect his joy. So Peter's saying, you know what? You cannot control what happens to you. You cannot control of the kind of trials or the kind of painful moments that you're going to have. You cannot control that because those will happen to you. But you can control how you live in what happens to you. You can control how you live in what happens to you. And you can choose. You can choose how you're going to live through the pain. You can choose how you're going to live through the suffering. So he's saying you cannot control because trials will come your way. You cannot control them. But you can control how you choose to live through them. You can choose to live in a way that brings glory to God. So he reminds them you can accept your hardship right now. But also you can expect his joy. So today, if you don't hear anything else, I want you to remember, accept your hardship. But expect his joy. Accept your hardship, but expect his joy. It's unhealthy to not admit the reality of what you're going through. It's unhealthy for you to not accept the hardship that you're going through. Because sometimes we feel like, oh, the way of giving people hope is not to talk about the bad stuff. It's only to talk about the good stuff. It's only just to remind them of what's good. But actually, we need to be doing both. People can accept the hard stuff that they're going through right now, but also they have to expect the joy that's coming for them because that is what hope is. That is what is hope is. So Peter says, right now you're going to be going through all kinds of trials. And trials, these are not easy things. These are hard things. And when we look at the trials of what these people were going through, they were hard things. They were being persecuted, being killed, being chased from their homes because they were going through a great deal of suffering and pain. So he says, right now, meanwhile, you encounter and you endure all these trials. So he says, the trials are actually there. The painful moments are actually there. The suffering is there. But I want you also to pay attention to the joy that's coming for you. So there's nothing wrong with saying, I am not okay. There's nothing wrong with saying I'm not okay. Because remember, Jesus Christ did not come for those that are okay. He came for those that are not okay, so that they can receive his help. So it's okay for you to say, I am not okay. So do not dismiss your pain that you're going through right now. Do not dismiss that pain. Do not dismiss even the pain of others. It's okay for you to not be okay. However, you also need to believe that it's going to be okay. It's okay for you to say, I am not okay. But you have to believe that it's going to be okay. It's okay to not be okay, but it's going to be okay. So Peter wants his readers, wants you and me, to remember God's truth, that we can accept our hardship, but we have to expect his joy. We have to expect his joy. And today I just wanted to remind us of this truth that we are finding in this passage. And there's all kinds of realities that we can find. But today I just wanted to bring to your attention just two truths that I want to bring to your attention that will help us to accept our hardship, yet at the same time expect his joy. And reality number one is that Jesus responds to our deepest longings. Jesus responds to our deepest longings. And this is what verse 3 and 4 says. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. Jesus responds to our deepest yearnings. He responds to our deepest longings. All pain is a yearning for something better. All pain is a yearning for something better. When you cry that you have lost your loved one, what you're doing is that you're crying for a world. You are yearning for a world where you cannot lose a loved one. When you're crying at night because you have lost your job and you have lost your sense of security and safety, you are yearning and longing for a world where you can feel secure, for a world where you can feel safe. When you cry because someone else took something precious from you, you're yearning for a world where you can feel safe and that no one can take stuff from you. When you cry because you cannot get healed from this disease, when you're crying because you're in so much pain right now, deep down in your heart, you're yearning for a world. You're yearning for a world where you can be healed when you need healing. You're yearning for a world where you can never get sick at all. And the good news is that Jesus Christ responds to this deeper longing that we have. We have a deeper longing when we cry, when we go through pain. All pain is a yearning for a deeper, for a better world, for a better world. All pain is a yearn for a better world. And the good news is that Jesus Christ responds to that deepest longing. He responds to that deepest yearning. That in our own pain, we cry to God, make it better, Lord. Make it better, God. And he responds to it. He responds to it. Because Jesus Christ gives us hope that one day we're going to be in a world where there'll be no tears. We're going to be in a world where there'll be no pain, where our joy will be full. We're going to live in a world where there'll be an abundance of joy. And that we can enjoy his presence forever. And there will be no suffering and there will be no pain. That is our deepest yearning. So when you go through a painful moment, when you cry those tears of pain, deeply you're yearning for a better world. You're yearning for something better. You're saying to God, please give us something better, God. Give us something better, Lord. That's what your pain is doing. And God sees that. So he responds. He responds to it. So accept your hardship right now. Because when you accept your hardship, you are saying to God, I am longing for a better world. I am longing for a better life. I am longing for something that's better than what I'm going through right now. But expect His joy, because you know that Jesus Christ makes it better. You know that God, through Jesus Christ, He makes it better. So you might say, it's not okay for me right now. But you also can say, but I know that it will be okay, because Jesus Christ makes it better, because Jesus Christ will respond to my deepest longing. Jesus Christ will respond to my deepest yearning. So it's okay to not be okay, but it's going to be okay. It's okay to not be okay, but it's going to be okay. So you can live both accepting your pain, and at the same time, you can live anticipating His joy. You can accept your hardship, but you can also expect His joy, because in the end, Jesus Christ will make it better. He will respond to your deepest longing. He will respond. So when you know and believe that Jesus Christ will respond to my deepest longing, you can live right now accepting the hardship, but also you can live expecting His joy. Truth number two, Jesus doesn't prevent us from experiencing trials, but He perseveres with us in trials. Jesus doesn't prevent us from experiencing trials, but He perseveres with us in trials. When you are going through a difficult time, when you're going through a hard time, the temptation is to think that you are alone. And sometimes I have to admit, sometimes it does feel like you are alone. Sometimes it does feel like God is not responding to you. Sometimes it does feel like God has abandoned you. Sometimes I feel like God is far away and your prayers are not really reaching to God. Sometimes you might feel like friends have abandoned you and there's no one who cares. But the truth is that even though we might feel that way, but we have to remember that Jesus Christ will not prevent us from experiencing the trials. However, this is the truth. However, He will persevere with us in the trials. This is what Scripture says in verse 3. It says, it is by His great mercy that we've been born again, because God raised Jesus from the dead. God raised Jesus from the dead. By His great mercy, we have been born again. We have a relationship with God through His mercy. Hardship can make you feel that God is not merciful, or to see God as cruel. But God is a merciful God. And He is so great in mercy. He's so great in mercy that He would do anything else to come reaching you, to come reaching towards you, to come reaching towards you. So sometimes He can fix it, but sometimes He does not fix it, but He sits in it. Even though He may not fix it, but He will sit in it with you. He will sit in the pain with you, and He comes and sits in the pain with you. And when Scripture says that it is by His great mercy that we've been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. When you're thinking about Jesus Christ being raised from the dead, you've got to go back and look at what happened to Jesus Christ. He Himself went through a great deal of pain. He Himself suffered so much. He Himself endured a lot of pain. He knows what it looks like, or what it means, or how it feels like to be abandoned. He knows how it feels like to go through death, to go through a great deal of suffering. And He's compassionate towards us. And this is why He comes and sits with us in our pain, because He knows and He understands. So God has shown us mercy, and He will show you mercy. And if you can believe that, if you can believe that, you're going to accept your hardship, yet at the same time, you're going to expect His joy, knowing that, yes, this is hard right now, but I am not alone. God, through Jesus Christ, He's sitting with me right now in my pen, in this season, right here where I'm at. And God will provide His grace. God will provide His grace for you. As Scripture says there, may the grace of the grace of God and His peace be in abundance. God will provide His grace in your own suffering, because the abundance of God's grace is not dependent on the absence of hardship, but on the presence of Jesus Christ in you. The abundance of God's grace for you is not dependent on the absence of trials and pain and suffering, but is dependent on the presence of Jesus with you right there. I often say that when we go through a rough time, we want to ask all kinds of questions. Why me, God? Why am I going through this rough time? And, you know, God does not really answer this question, because I think sometimes we can be like a three-year-old, you know, who says, why? And then you explain something, and then they'll say, why? And then you explain, and then they'll say, why? You know, we go on, why? And often God does not explain himself, but he provides his presence, because God's presence is better when we are in pain than his explanation. So he chooses to come and sit with us in our pain. So today, I just wanted to remind you of that truth. Familiar truth, but I wanted to just remind you, whatever you're going through right now, that Jesus Christ sits with you in your pain. He sits with you in your suffering. And then, knowing that Jesus Christ responds to your deepest longing, and knowing that he sits with you and he perseveres with you in your trials, therefore today you can choose to endure the pain, and you can choose to rejoice. You can choose to rejoice. For there, scripture says, in verse 6, it says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. You can choose to be joyful because you know that this is not here to stay. These trials are not here to stay. They're here for just a little while. It's not going to be like this forever. It's not going to be like this for eternity. But you can choose to rejoice, because when you choose to rejoice, you begin to see a God who is for you. When you rejoice, you begin to see a God who is for you and not against you. A God who fights for you. A God who stands for you. But also you see a God who is with you. A God who is with you. A God who stands with you. A God who sits with you. A God who is there with you, that he will never leave you nor forsake you. And I hope today you can be reminded of this truth. So how do you accept your pain and yet at the same time expect his joy? And I just wanted to give us just some practical things that we can do, most especially in this season when life is hard, when everything around us is so strange. First of all, it is unhealthy for you to dismiss your pain. So accept, do not dismiss what you're going through. Other people, I've heard them saying that, oh, I don't know if I should be feeling like this, because when I look around me, other people have gone through a lot more than I have. But you don't have to dismiss your pain. That's unhealthy. It's also unhealthy for you to move too quickly from your pain without sitting in it, without sitting in the pain and understand what's really going on. It is unhealthy for you to move too quickly from the pain. It's also unhealthy for you to stay too long in the pain without addressing it. It is unhealthy for you to stay too long in the pain without addressing it. So the unhealthy three things: to dismiss your pain, to move too quickly from your pain, or to stay too long in the pain without addressing it. But the healthy things that you could do, the three healthy things that you could do, is to acknowledge your pain. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge your pain. Honestly vent your pain. And venting your pain, that just means you can bring it to God, where you're venting it to God. Or you go and share it with someone else to say, hey, this is what's happening, this is what's going on. And just have somebody else who can just listen. You're not looking for people that will give you answers. Often people don't have the answers, but you're just wanting to let it out. So vent your pain. Let it out. And the third way is to trust God's presence in your pain. Trust God's presence in your pain. Unhealthy ways to dismiss your pain, to move too quickly from your pain, to stay too long in the pain without addressing it. That's unhealthy. But the healthy things you could do is acknowledge your pain, honestly vent your pain, and trust God's presence in your pain. Because God is with you in this season. So accept your hardship right now. Accept your hardship right now. But expect His joy. Be willing to address. You've got to be willing to address it, the pain and what you're going through. Because God will work through that. May you stay blessed in this season. And please let us know how we could be praying for you. You can send us an email, humphreys@flatchurch.com. And we want to be praying for you guys in this season. But I want to encourage you that trust in the God who is for you. Trust in the God who is with you. For He will never leave you nor forsake you. Let's pray. God, I thank You and I bless Your name, for You are good. I pray, God, that You would stand with every single one of us that's going through a rough time right now. May You stand with Your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast. Please send us your feedback by commenting below or by emailing floodlilongwe@gmail.com.